the OTB Podcast Network.
So it's finished. La Rochelle 32, Leinster 23. Leinster out of the Heineken Champions Cup at the semi-final stage again. Dreams of a fifth star on the jersey done and dusted. La Rochelle march on to the final to take on Toulouse. Bernard Jackman was watching this game with us here on Off the Ball. And Bernard, is it a case of Leinster losing the game or La Rochelle winning it?
No, 100% La Rochelle winning it. I thought they were dominant for a team who hadn't been in a European semi-final before. They played real maturity. Their game management was good. And that power that we worried about, they brought that. And they just had so many players who get over the gain line, had Leinster on the back foot, and totally deserved the win for 100%.
And I know a lot of the talk before the game was the hope that Leinster could try to keep the ball in play a lot, try tire out some of those La Rochelle players who kind of rely on big physicality and not necessarily having too much gas, but, you know, being able to just absolutely bully teams. But to be honest, the longer the game went on, it looked like those La Rochelle players were growing in strength rather than Leinster.
Yeah, that third quarter, La Rochelle took the game by the scruff of the neck and got scoreboard lead and didn't look back. They didn't let Leinster get back into the game. No matter what Leinster tried, La Rochelle had an answer for it. And very disappointing day for Leinster, I think. Obviously, on the back of the Saracens defeat in the autumn, to lose today to a team like La Rochelle, who haven't got a European pedigree, will definitely hurt.
And the warning signs were probably there at halftime, where Leinster had, they probably had been the better team, but they were letting La Rochelle back into it. Some costly errors, giving up some crucial penalties. But, you know, all in all, they probably had been just about the better team. But as I say, the warning signs were there. But within 10 minutes of that second half starting, you could see the impact that the sheer size and physicality of La Rochelle's players was having.
Yeah, Leinster obviously felt they'd finished strong the last 20 minutes, but it was really La Rochelle. And I think that's the worry for Leinster, is when they come up against teams with that power, you know, can they handle it? Saracens did it to them a couple of times. Racing had them under serious pressure. That final they won in San Sebastian. And today, you know, La Rochelle really took away any areas of the game that Leinster would have thought were going to be strengths for them. So back to the drawing board for Leinster. Obviously, they've got two titles already this year, but this is the one that they really want. I mean, you know, they judge themselves on being champions of Europe, and they've fallen short again.
Is it a bit of a worry, I suppose, with the pattern, the way things have gone in the last couple of years? When you look at Leinster in this game and against Saracens last year as well, when you look at some of the heavier defeats Ireland have had over the last couple of years, that there does seem to be a trend where there's a bit of an inability to break down teams that have that physical edge.
Yeah, because that's what, I agree with you, but that's what we use to dominate in the Pro 14. So we bully teams in the Pro 14. We're more physical, we're more powerful than the majority teams we play against, talking from a Leinster point of view. But even Munster, Ulster and Connacht, they're all in the top four of the Pro 14. Obviously, we'll see now with the South Africans come in. So that's the problem. We get away with it week in, week out. And then when we come into the business end of Europe or at international level, when we play a France or in England normally, tactic doesn't work, and we don't have the habits of trying to unlock it through creativity. So definitely a worry for us.
And to be honest, like, that would have been a worry going into probably the Exeter Chiefs game at the start of the month as well, but Leinster were able to stand up and they were able to out physical Exeter on the day. Why were they able to do it a few weeks ago, and why did they fall so short today?
I don't know. La Rochelle are probably a more physical team than Exeter. Exeter are very well organised. They have power, but it's a different level. And look, there was three of the four teams in the semi-finals were French. The French national team are humming. The underage system is working there. French rugby is back. And at the moment, you know, the rest of us are playing a little bit of catch-up.
If there were positive performances out there from a Leinster point of view, would you be able to put your finger on them just now?
I think Robbie Henshaw, Ronan Kelleher stood up. Ty Furlong had his moments, but in general, it wasn't individual errors or individual bad performances that cost us. It was collective. I mean, 1-15, La Rochelle, bar Dylan Lade, who didn't have a great game, but in general, they bossed the game collectively. And the likes of Boujari, Aldrete, and Will Skelton for me was man of the match. And ironically, you know, he's given Leinster some difficult days in a Saracens jersey, and today he was absolutely outstanding. He just gave them that initial punch, which got them into their rhythm, and from there Leinster couldn't recover.
It's strange with Will Skelton as well, because he's a player 28 now. I suppose he is in his peak years, but for a huge chunk of his career, he was always a player that people were talking about as a bit of a missed potential. That was he ever going to live up to the name he had? Because he was always big, he was always powerful, yeah. But I think if anything, maybe over the last few years, has he trimmed down a little bit, and that has actually brought the best out of his game?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember speaking to Ronan O'Gara about him back in pre-Christmas, and he said, you know, for a guy who his reputation was being a little bit lazy, being a little bit soft on himself, he was actually one of the guys kind of set an example for La Rochelle players in terms of looking after themselves, in terms of their diet, in terms of their conditioning. And yeah, he's 28 now. He still has 5 or 6 years ahead of him. He was a late developer. He didn't come through an academy system. I remember Michael Checa had him in the Waratahs, had to put a huge amount of effort in to get him fit. And yeah, like guys like him win you games when they're on song. And that's rare to have that ability, but he has it, and that's why he's getting paid a lot of money.
Certainly is, and he's certainly earning it at the moment as well. Another man who's earning his money at the moment, Ronan O'Gara. He's bringing them into the Heineken Champions Cup final now against Toulouse. Like, his star is just continuing to rise and rise and rise, and I think regardless of what happens in the final, he's walking into the head job now, or the, I suppose, taken over from John O'Gibbs when he moves on. But he's brought them up to a better place even than when he came in.
Oh, absolutely. And they will have massive belief in his ability now as head coach to give them the game plan that can actually get them to the final of the European Cup and the top two in the Pro 14 where they are at the moment. And look, at the journey they're on as a club. And no matter what happens, that journey's still got time to go. And Ronan, being the head coach, being the DOR or having no DOR, will have a role to play in that. So yeah, you can see why he signed off for 3 years. He can see these guys day in, day out.
You mentioned the journey La Rochelle have been on. Like, we referenced it in commentary. 2014, they came up from Pro D2 into the top 14. And I don't know the ins and outs. I assume you would certainly know it a lot better than me. But it doesn't seem like they're a club who just threw money at a situation and decided one day, 7 or 8 years ago, we're going to be one of the best teams in France. This is a project that's been building piece by piece down the years.
Yeah, they're quite similar to Leinster in that Mick Dawson has been the Leinster CEO since the start of professionalism, and their president has been president for 21 years. He played for the club, and he's got the community behind him. So, you know, he has money, and he absolutely he's not afraid to put his hand in his pocket. But the sponsors, the fans, like, they've sold out every single game for 3 years in the top 14. 16,000, bang. You know, if you don't get a ticket early, you don't get in. That's phenomenal, you know, and they represent the people of that area, and they're absolutely loving it. I think it's gone way quicker than they thought. I mean, for them to be in a European final, you know, that's not generally how teams grow unless you have a Lorenzetti or a, you know, a Bugella who's going to just throw the kitchen sink at it. They have grown. They brought true players from their academy. They recruited really well from other clubs in France, players like Doulin, Plisson, who weren't getting game time in their own club, and have come into an environment where good coaching, good culture, beautiful place to live, and it's so impressive. A lot of people come to Leinster to learn about their system. I guarantee you now people will be going to La Rochelle to see what they've done.
Yeah, certainly. Back on today's game, though, a couple of pieces as well before we finish up. Ross Byrne obviously started out half today in place of Johnny Sexton, who was unavailable. Was Johnny Sexton's absence felt particularly today?
Yeah, I don't think in terms of the actual content of the play, but potentially off the field, that resilience, that game management, because you know, Leinster didn't really find any area that they could really exploit. So potentially that, but in terms of Ross Byrne's moments, no, he didn't have any front football. All the possession he got, he did quite well with. I think it was a case of being dominated physically 1-15. But I would say Sexton has an ability over and beyond what he does on the field, in terms of being able to inspire and make sure that the team are at the right level mentally.
It's a bit of a tricky spot as well now for Leinster, and indeed Ulster, who lost at the weekend as well as the other Irish sides. That, like, what is the rest of this season ultimately? You know, we're kind of just almost filtering out time until a Lions series comes around. There's a squad being picked next week, so there isn't even necessarily a big window to put yourself out there for someone like Warren Gatlin to watch. What's the goal between now and the end of the season? I imagine win the Rainbow Cup is obviously along those lines, but it's not going to be the be-all and end-all.
No, and like, Leinster are probably a little bit vulnerable now because they go into quarantine for 5 nights. You know, they lost the first game to Munster because obviously they're prepping for a semi-final. So if you lost two, then it could be hard to catch up because it's obviously just going to go straight to a final or top of the table. So, yeah, it's very difficult. I would say blood new players, bring the youngsters through.
What positions?
I would say that, but Leinster and Munster, Leinster particularly do that anyway. You know, Connacht Connacht had a great win away in Ulster. Ulster will need to try and find some more front five players. But I think we know what's in our academies. We know what's come beneath. And they do get game time. But you're not going to find a Will Skelton in our system. That's the challenge. So it's a case of...
You're so tall, you'd see him anyway if he was there.
No, you know where he was. But we need to find a way of playing that can make up for that power deficit that we come up against. And unfortunately, we only get exposed late in competitions or in Europe because we don't get that week in, week out. The South Africans... I've watched them, you know, they obviously will give us a litmus test on a more regular basis in the Rainbow Cup, but that's the challenge for us, is to have a level of creativity, an offloading game that means we can play away from the trench warfare that we face when we play teams like La Rochelle or you know, I saw Montpellier last night against Bath, you know, their physical power can actually take away your normal strength.
Certainly is. One last player as well that was out today, Tadhg Furlong. Scored a try. He had a very, very good first half with a couple of big collisions in there as well. His contract still up for discussion at the moment. Any worries on your side that he might not be around in Ireland next season?
No, look, I think the RFU have done a great job of getting everybody else tied down. They can't let Tadhg Furlong go. That's the key. You know, if he leaves, I think it makes a mockery of all the other ones they've already done. He should have been the first guy to get signed up, in my opinion. The fact it's gone on this long... You know, it's obviously not ideal, but I would be shocked if they can't get a deal done.
Yeah, you wouldn't really be worried about how long it's taking.
No, I think I just think it's hardball and negotiations, and it'll get sorted out pretty quickly, I'd imagine.
Very good. And last bit of business then, Lions squad announcement coming up this Thursday. Obviously, there's probably a handful of players in Leinster shirts today who would have been wanting a big performance, not just to get into a final, but to maybe cement their places down. Anyone particularly you felt who could have fallen out of contention with a performance today?
James Ryan didn't really take the game by the scruff of the neck, but I think he's got enough credit in the bank. Second game back from a bit of a break of concussion, up against a very physical side on the back foot, but he probably would have definitely hope to be more dominant, but I still think he'll get in and deservedly so.
Any bankers in the Irish setup do you think are getting in, and people then who are maybe a little bit on the edge who might be worth a look?
Furlong will be a banker for sure. Kelleher will be on the edge. There's a rumour he might go with two English hookers and Ken Owens. Johnny Sexton, I think that's a big one. You know, I would have him on the plane, but it's bad timing for him to be out at the moment. Bigger's obviously playing incredibly well. And then, you know, you've got Owen Farrell what Gatland does there. I certainly would bring Johnny Sexton, but obviously I think he's going to have a nervous few days waiting for that because he's injured. That's all.
Certainly is. Bernard, thanks a million for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.